how do we connect with the hearts of those in our family? And then how do we direct their hearts to the Lord? When you put it in the context of marriage, what would be more important than having the heart of your spouse? When you put it in the context of parenting, what would be more important than having the heart of your child? Connecting with the hearts of your family members and having their hearts is pivotal. It's critical. It's an absolute. You have to have it if you're going to be successful in the area of family. And so this morning we're going to talk about, as we seek these heart connections, what is the goal? What is the goal in your family? What are you striving for? What is the result that you're working towards? A mother who was a doctor had her four-year-old daughter with her, and they were in the car on their way to school, and the mom had left her stethoscope over on the passenger seat accidentally, and the little girl got in, and they were on their way to school, and the little girl put that on and was kind of playing with it, and the mom was over there driving to school and kind of thinking, this is cool, you know, maybe my daughter will grow up and be a doctor just like me. And the little girl was kind of playing with that stethoscope a little more. And then she pulled up the piece that you'd put to hear the heartbeat. And she spoke into it. And she said, hello, welcome to McDonald's. What is your order? And the mom was just kind of bummed. You know, not exactly what she was thinking, that her daughter was thinking anyway, and what she might do. And we all have different ideas and expectations and goals for our family. But are they the goals that God would desire for you and I to have? We're going to launch into this thought about what is our goal from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, some of you know my story. I've had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, so I've been around this my whole life. And I've heard this verse taught many different ways. I've heard this verse taught like, train up a child in the way he should go, and no matter what happens for the rest of his life, it's always going to be there. And I think as you really study this verse and apply it properly, it means what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not that it will not depart from him. In other words, I'm going to train him right, and no matter what he does, he's always going to know that I did that. That's not what that verse says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me give you this. It doesn't mean you and I are training perfect children. I am not perfect, and my wife is not perfect. Now, she is more perfect than I am, okay? But we are both imperfect, all right? I think she'd let me say that. I'll find out this afternoon. No. We're both not perfect, right? And we're in this together, two imperfect people trying to invest our lives into Mariah, Lydia, and Alina, Joseph. What is our prayer? Our prayer is that their whole life long, they would live in the way that God has for them. Now, that doesn't mean that it will not make mistakes. I don't know. There may be a time where they break my heart. I don't know. But my prayer would be that no matter what, they would stay in the way. And even if there was a mistake made, even if there was a moment where something didn't go as it should, that there would be a correction back to the way that God would have them to live. And so we have to think about, what is our goal? Is our goal to raise a good kid? Because I think we could surmise this morning that a lost person could raise a good kid. Is our goal to raise a Christian good kid? That they know the Lord as Savior and they are good. Or is our goal to raise a disciple? A true committed follower of Jesus Christ. And there's a great difference between a Christian good kid and a true follower of Jesus Christ. And the difference being parents who comprehended the biblical way, the biblical parenting, the biblical responsibility, and then paid the price to implement that. You see, If we are going to accomplish our parts as moms and dads or preparing for that stage somewhere in the future in our lives, then we have to embrace the ABCs of parenting. And I put this in your notes. Letter A is we have to accept responsibility. If God has blessed you with children, God has blessed you with an incredible responsibility. Their outcome greatly is determined by your ability to parent. That's a lot. That's a heavy weight on the shoulder. So we have to accept responsibility for that. Then we have to believe God's word. The longer we go in time, here we are about to go to May of 2019, the more radical the Bible sounds when it comes to parenting. I mean, some of the stuff in this series that we're going to learn, if it wasn't in the Bible, you wouldn't believe it. Because it is as anti-cultural as you can possibly get in 2019. Of what the leading experts out there, which, by the way, be very careful where you put your stock into, well, this leading expert said. You know, I read it on the internet. They published a book or whatever. And thank God for people that are speaking into this conversation. But just make sure that you value the Bible more than anything else, all right? Because God has instruction that we want to know and that we want to live. And so we want to believe in the Word of God. And then letter C, we must consistently train up our children in the way. So really, this idea of a heart connection, what is the goal? Where are we going? It begins with you and I. Yes, they need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they need the proper training at home with mom and dad to become a true disciple. Proverbs 29:15, the Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." They need a relationship with mom and dad and the training provided. Caesar Millen is known as the dog whisperer, and he has a long-running TV show. And in this show, he is able repeatedly to take these dogs that are unruly, they're violent, they're disorderly, they've got every kind of a problem. And with his mentoring and training, he can bring them into submission in really incredible short amounts of time. And in his website, he says that the state of the dog is a direct response to the attitude and actions of the master. Says the best way to change the dog is to change the behavior of the owner. He goes on to talk about dogs that he's had great success with that then go back home and it's all undone because the owner was unwilling to change their behavior. Now, I'm not indicating your children are dogs, all right? But the idea being in this illustration is that there is much to be said for the behavior, the pattern, the example of mom and dad speak volumes to our children. If they are going to grow, we must grow. And Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 14 that you have to count the cost of being a disciple. He talks about if you're going to build a tower, you've got to sit down and count the cost to build it. Or you're going to lay the foundation and not be able to finish it. He talks about a king going to war is going to sit down and consult. And do we have enough men? And will it be positioned right? And can we win? And he says, listen, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you've got to count the cost. And I think to this series, we would say, if you're going to make heart connections at home, you got to count the cost. That's going to cost you something. You can't go to work, come home, microwave dinner, sit down, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, microwave dinner, sit down, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, microwave dinner, sit down, watch TV, go to bed, and on it goes, and expect true disciples. Right? That doesn't work. So I'm going to have to count the cost of this thing at home. If we're going to have that kind of marriage, if we're going to train these kind of children, then we're going to have to count the cost. And it's going to begin with us in our home. We have to be in the process of being who we are supposed to be before the Lord so that we can train our children. So in that light of these heart connections, in this light of the goal of a true disciple, how do we do that? Number one, in our study this morning, we must make this the priority for ourselves and our children. This is not going to happen if it is not a priority. It's kind of like getting in shape, right? Man, I would love to get in shape. Oh, it'd be great to lose some weight. It'd be great to go to the gym. It'd be great to run 50 miles before I go to work. It'd be great to eat nothing but kale every day. I mean, it would just be great, 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 great. Nothing is going to happen towards that goal if I don't do anything. Right? If I get up and I eat my Captain Crunch Cheerios or, you know, whatever those things are with all the sugar in them, you know. Eat McDonald's for lunch. Subway for dinner, I don't know, you know. Gallon of ice cream before bed, just because you can, you know. Kind of look over there at the elliptical, you know. All the clothes are hung on it and nice, neatly in colored order, you know. And just kind of, one day it's going to happen, right? I mean, we all know that the desire is great, but if the desire is not accompanied by action, nothing is going to happen. Well, that's true in marriage and family life as well. We have to make it a priority. Look at the scriptures when it comes to priority, the things of the Lord in Matthew 6 in your notes. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Revelation 4:11, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In 2 Corinthians, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord. In Mark 8:34, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God makes it clear, replundant throughout the word of God, that God wants to be first. Not just in the, you know, touchy-feely kind of way. Like, oh yeah, God is number one with me, man. Definitely. He's like my center. And where we have the lingo and the feeling. No, no, no. God says, I practically, tangibly want to be first. The first thing in your life, the highest priority that you have. And God desires for you and I to prioritize Him above any other love, interest, or vocation that we may have. And this priority is demonstrated by what we actually put first. And I think we have to think, okay, if my goal is to train a true committed follower of Christ, then is this my priority? And as I look at my life and the way that we live it and the way that we make decisions, is this true here in our home? And I think life has a way of throwing us lots of things that make us really kind of discern, is this the reality of our home or not? When I miss church so my son can play sports, what does that say? It communicates a priority for sure. When we cannot go to church because they have homework, what does that say? Well, one has a higher priority than the other. When I myself as dad cannot go to church because I am ill, but with that same illness I drag out of bed and I go to work because we need money, what does that say? What I want us to think about is when we think about this idea of the goal, a disciple, the paying of the price, that we have to have a priority established in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes that trump everything else. Because if not, our children discern, okay, they say this is important, but when it comes head to head, this is what wins. And what wins is what is truly important. So, is God our priority? Or do we just say that He is? Because our priority is demonstrated by what wins the scheduling conflicts. Now, there's no way to be a committed follower of Christ while we are in turn trying to find our own way, while we're trying to do our own thing, while we're trying to discover ourselves. The Bible says in Matthew 10:39 in your notes, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. One commentator said, discipleship is not a self-esteem journey. Growth means change. Change always includes loss, and loss is always painful. Listen, no one in this room is able to do everything. We are all going to have to say no to something. There's just too many opportunities out there, and most of them are good. So sometimes in parenting, it's not choosing between good and bad. Sometimes in marriage, it's not choosing between this good opportunity and this terrible opportunity. It's choosing between good and the best, and that is driven by the priorities that you have settled on in your heart. So what is your objective? What is your goal? Are you willing to pay the price? And is your goal discipleship? Being a true, committed follower of Christ. And if it is, I'm telling you, priority is everything. Because we can walk out of this room in a minute and we can high five and we can be like, yeah, I like that. God is my priority. Let's do it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get hit like a Mack truck tomorrow with a decision. And it's going to be God and whatever. And you will have to decide. And you'll face that all the time. Because Satan is a master at what he does. And you will have to not just say, that's my priority. You will have to prove that is my priority by the decisions you're making. But for every parent in this room, remember, there are others following that are watching, that your example and pattern is so critical. So priority, it has to be mine and theirs. Secondly, if we're going to do this, then we must use the proper tools. He says in Proverbs to train up a child. Now, again, in the way, what does it mean to be a disciple? I gave you a definition there. A disciple is a child with a heart for God and the training to effectively serve Him for a lifetime. So a disciple is a child with a heart for God. Well, I think that starts with us, right? How do they even know what a heart for God looks like unless they see it in us? So I think that's definitely on us initially. And then, yes, it's on them. They've got to make that decision on their own. We can't feed that, you know, stuff that down their throat. That's something that they have to choose. But I'd like to make that look as great as it possibly can be, because that's the choice I want them to make. But then it requires the training to effectively serve Him for a lifetime. That's definitely my job. So when we think about, we'd like to see a true disciple in the hearts of our children. It's modeling for them a heart for God. And it is committing to the continual training necessary so that they can effectively serve God for a lifetime. Nancy DeMoss in the book Lies Women Believe said, frustration is the byproduct of attempting to fulfill responsibilities that God did not intend for us to carry. Sometimes in the context of family life, there is so much tension and there is so much pulling and there's so much friction and there's so much competition, it feels like, for time, energy, schedule, resources, and all the rest of it. And I think we have to be willing to step back and to say, what are we living for? What is the goals? What is our priority? And are all these responsibilities we're trying to fulfill even ours to fulfill? There may be a few that we've added here that are not as important, that are really straining the rest. And we may need to simplify some things in our life. We taught a whole series on that last summer. So we've got to use the proper tools. And I want us to look at 7 God-given tools from the Word of God. And I'm going to just kind of fly over these right now, because this is where we're going to dive deep starting next week. And I'm excited and looking forward to that. Tool number one, letter A, is relationships. Relationships, the connections between the family members. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The most powerful, effective child-rearing tool in your house is your relationships. More powerful than any discipline, more powerful than any admonishment, is the relationship you have with your children. Children want to please parents who are relationally close as a result of nurturing that relationship hour upon hour upon hour upon hour upon hour. The most powerful tool you have is relationship. And I hope one of the things that will dig deep into our hearts through this series is to be passionate about, I want a relationship with my spouse. We don't want to just share the last name and the same address and the same bank account. We actually want a relationship together. And that we will have a relationship with our children, that we're passionate about having their heart. It's a God-given tool. Children do not want to disappoint or to be in conflict with someone who loves them, who they are close with. Have you ever sensed that with your child, that you just knew something was off, but because you're very close to that child, it couldn't go very long until it just came to the surface and presented a way to work its way out because it was hindering the closeness that you've experienced? That's the way it should be with all of our family members all the time. Relationship. Letter B, tool number two, training. He says in Proverbs to train up a child. The second most powerful tool that we have from the Word of God in our homes is training. There's simply no substitute for the daily, specific, interactive training of heart, mind, body, and emotion. And we're going to study that. We're going to dig deep into that in this series. And how do we do that effectively as unto the Lord? But we want to hold fast this tool of training. Let her see the Word. And by this, I mean the Word of God. Isaiah, so shall my word be that good that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There is power in the Word of God. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, when you and I are in the Word of God, and then as you and I communicate in our marriage and our home, and when our words are really echoing God's words, that's when they have authority. Sometimes as we communicate in marriage or in home life and it just feels like the words are falling and nothing is being heard or nothing is being responded to, we need to take some time to analyze, are we echoing the words of God? Because when we are in the Word of God, when the Word of God is in us, when we are echoing the Word of God, when the Word of God has authority in our home, when our children know that we obey the Bible, there's authority in that. And that is a great tool that God has given to us in our homes. Our whole heart should be wrapped up in doing the entire will of God. Letter D, reproof. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. He's hearing the reproof. We read, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. God has placed power and a parent's correction and rebuke. Now listen, I already know in 2019 that is not a popular parenting method that people want to talk about. But can I tell you something? It's in the Bible. And it's not fun. I'm not saying as a dad, I just stare at my four kids and who's going to make a mistake next? Man, I can't wait. I got a reproof coming. Here we go. You know, I'm not saying that. I don't like it. But I want to tell you something, it's my job. I don't know if police officers like writing tickets. Some I've met do. But it's their job. And that's the world my children are going to grow up in. And if there's never any reproof at home, how in the world is that preparing them for life? I don't think it is. Reproof. It's a biblical tool. Now, I'm not saying run out of here and saying, man, that's what I got out of today's lesson. Bless, you know, we're going to learn how, but it's part of it. Letter E, chastening. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. There is to be chastening. There is to be consequences. There is to be correction and discipline biblically when necessary. Now, listen. Every child will need chastening and should receive it. That's a fact. Every child will need chastening and should receive it. What does that mean? It means there's no perfect child. Okay? But here's the thing. Every one of God's do. Look at Hebrews 12:6 in your notes. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So, the Lord in love, when Pastor preached at 8:30 this morning, if someone's living continually in sin and never has any deterrent from it inwardly, it would be hard to make a case that the Spirit of God resides there. Because if the Spirit of God is in you and you're over here messing up, There's something in you that's really in turmoil to get you back on track. Well, what is that? That's the chastening of the Lord. Whom He loveth, He chasteneth. Well, if God is going to chasten every child in whom He loves, and He is the perfect Father, an example for you and I to follow, then that should be in our homes as well. It's a biblical tool that God has given to us. Again, we'll study that, okay? Letter F, reward. Psalm 58:11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is the God that judges in the earth. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. Now there's three basic types of incentives and rewards in the Bible. We'll not go over these for sake of time, but you've got the goal and achievement-oriented prize. In other words, here's the goal. If you achieve it, there's a reward for that. There's the pattern and responsibility-oriented reward. This is the pattern that I'm providing. If you responsibly follow, there's a reward for that. And then there's the incident-oriented praise and approval. Man, I saw this good thing. Way to go. Good job. There's all kinds of praise in the Bible. Mark 10, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The Bible is replundant with this promise, rewards and blessings follow behavior and faith. And there's nothing wrong in our homes with rewarding good behavior. Now we're going to learn through this series that doesn't mean bribery. It doesn't mean for the three-year-old who's on the ground throwing a fit and wondering if there's, you know, like demon possession or something. And then, you know, pulling out the chocolate bars and saying, Junior, please stop. Here's Hershey's, you know. That's not a reward, okay? That's like, please stop. You're embarrassing me, okay? We're not talking about that. But we're talking about when there is the proper behavior that we are responding in kind with a proper reward. It's a biblical tool. Letter G, prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I thank my God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So we want to utilize the tool of prayer. And what a powerful tool the tool of prayer is. Now, those are seven tools found in the Word of God given to homes for the purpose of seeing the product being disciples and seeing connection at a heart level. And we are going to take time in the coming weeks to really dig deep and to understand how do we use these tools to our advantage in our home. But today, as we launch into this study in this series, here's the question. What is our goal? And for some, it may be making a decision today that maybe has not been made, or reaffirming a decision that's been lost. And that is, the goal of our home is disciples. As husband, wife, mom, dad, children, the goal is committed followers of Jesus Christ. Not just good people, but people that have a heart for God, who have the tools to serve Him with their whole life. That's our goal. We have to know what we're aiming for. We have to know what we're working towards. And then, if that is our goal, is that our priority? Is the way we're living our life, scheduling our days, and making our decisions, proving the fact that God is the number one priority that we have? That He trumps everything else. Everything else moves and adjusts and flexes around God, because He is number one. And that's our priority. And then, is there a commitment to utilizing the biblical tools? Some of them make perfect sense and we like them. Some of them are kind of like, oh, I don't like that one. I don't like doing that. But I'm telling you, we need all of them if we are going to fulfill our responsibility in training up disciples. And so I pray this morning that we in our hearts will settle with God. Our goal is a committed follower of Christ, that we will make it our priority, and that it will be proven by the way we live and the decisions that we make. And then that we will embrace the daily need to use these tools. And some of these you may say, I don't even know what we're talking about. It's okay. Come back next week and we're gonna dig deep. We're going to find out what do these tools mean and how do we use them. There's going to be a lot of practical ideas shared in the weeks to come. But we have to start with a decision being made. That's my goal. So I want to learn and I want to implement what God is teaching me. And may I encourage all of us this morning, let's decide. We're going to be here every week of this series because in our homes, we want heart connections. As husband and wife, moms and dads, we want to be connected at the heart. And let's ask God to do that in our homes throughout this series. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together this morning and for the relevancy of your word in our home life in 2019. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to decide what is our goal. What are we aiming for? What is it that we desire to see accomplished? And then whatever that is, may we make it our priority. And may the way we live and the decisions we make reflect this is the direction we're going. And the Lord, help us to know and to use the biblical tools that you provide to strengthen our homes and to help us to connect at the heart level. I pray that you bless every husband and wife, every mom and dad in this room. Help us to be faithful to this series. And may we take what we're learning and implement it into our homes. And we'll praise and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.